translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The king said, "You, O you who are in the form of a bull, you know the truth of religion and you are speaking according to principles that are the destination intended for the perpetrator of religious acts is also intended for one who identifies the perpetrator. You are no other than the personality of religion." A devotee's conclusion is that no one is directly responsible for being a benefactor or mischief monger without the sanction of the Lord. Therefore, he does not consider anyone to be directly responsible for such action. But in both cases, he takes it for granted that either benefit or for loss is God sent, and thus it is His grace. In case of benefit, no one will deny that it is God sent. In case of loss or reverses, one becomes doubtful whether how the Lord could be so unkind to His devotee as to put him in great difficulty. Jesus Christ was seemingly put into such great difficulty being crucified by the ignorant, but He was never angry at the mischief mongers. That is a way of accepting a thing, either favorable or unfavorable. Thus for a devotee, the identifier is equally a sinner, like the mischief monger. By God's grace, the devotee tolerates all reverses. Maharaj Pariksit observed this, and therefore he could understand that the bull was no other than the personality of religion himself. In other words, a devotee has no suffering at all, because so-called suffering is also God-sent for a devotee who sees God in everything. The cow and the bull never placed any complaint before the king for being tortured by the personality of Kali, although everyone lodges such complaints before the state authorities. The extraordinary behavior of the bull made the king conclude that the bull was certainly the personality of religion, for no one else could understand the finer intricacies of the codes of religion. So recite some prayers on Srimad Bhagavatam. Sarva Satya Vipuya Sarva Vigdak Satpala Sarva Siddhanta Ratna Sarva Lokaya Dikpata Sarva Bhagavata Prana Srimad Bhagavata Prabhu Kali Dvanta Dibya Sri Krishna Pravartita Paramananda Pita Prem Vasya Akshayate Sarvada Sarva Savaya Sri Krishna Namostutume Mad Ekam Bandhu Mad Jigna Mad Guru Mad Mahadan Mad Stana Madhya Bhagya Mad Ananda Namostute Asyodha Asudha Daya Achinto Taka Hiye Namuchan Kache Mam Premna Kit Katakya Aspura. O Srimad Bhagavatam, O nectar of Chand from the ocean of all Vedic scriptures, O most prominent transcendental fruit of all the Vedas, O you who are enriched with the jewels of all spiritual philosophical conclusions, O you who grant spiritual vision to all the people of the world, O life breath of the Vaishnava devotees, O Lord, you are the sun which has arisen to dispel the darkness of Kali Yuga. You are actually Krishna who has returned among us. O Srimad Bhagavatam, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. By reading you, one can attain transcendental bliss, for your symbols rain pure love of God upon the reader. You are always being served by everyone, for you are incarnation of Krishna. O Srimad Bhagavatam, O my Lord, O my only friend, O my companion, O my teacher, O my great wealth, O my deliverer, O my good fortune, O bliss, I offer my respectful obeisance unto you. O Srimad Bhagavatam, O giver of saintliness to the unsteady. O Srimad Bhagavatam, O giver of saintliness to the unsaintly. All uplifter of the very fallen, please do not ever leave me. Please become manifest upon my heart and my throat, accompanied by pure love of Krishna. So, let's see what can be said here. So we can see in this actually in the material world no one is innocent. Everyone is guilty because everyone's come here turning their back on Krishna. So in that sense everyone is, no one's completely innocent in that sense. So there was a story I heard, it happened in the 1920s or 20s in America something, where in Texas or something, if someone done a heavy crime, they get the chair execution. And they called this one man, and he was, they put him on the chair, and they pulled the string. And each time they pulled the string, three times, nothing happened. Nothing happened, he was okay, you know. Not, ideally, I don't know how that chair works, but he electrocuted. So somehow or other the string didn't work, so the electrocution didn't happen. And the third time, the people who were doing it realized that that person was innocent. He wasn't the person who actually did the crime. So they let him out. So from that example, we can see how, like Prabhupada says here, Krishna is watching everything, you know, like happening. So someone who's innocent, like in this case, the person didn't go through it. He didn't have to. So Krishna let him off the hook of not being punished because he wasn't guilty of it. I heard another story how someone said how in India there was one person. He got caught by three people, and he was going to be, and they blamed him for some crime. So one judge was nearby taking his food, and he saw that what was going on. So he called this person, he asked him, did you ever do anything bad in your life to anyone? And this person admitted he did do something. So the judge said, now you're getting your karma back. So nowadays the difficulty is people make up man-made laws and they ignore God's laws. That's why there's so much difficulty in the material world. People are trying to cut corners in God's laws. There was some another Sankirtan story which took happen in Russia, how this one devotee got a book and the grandfather or the uncle was. He was part of a robbery group or something. He was in charge of a... So this devotee who got the book, he started to become a devotee. And the wife was like, not sure what was happening. And then one time she went out somewhere, and one devotee was looking for to give her teachings of Lord Chaitanya to someone, and he picked her. So after reading the teachings of Lord Chaitanya inside out, she became a devotee. And then they threw this grandfather or the uncle out of the house because he wasn't open to Krishna consciousness. So that shows how the jiva always has his minute independence, whether he wants to surrender or not surrender. And in this case, obviously the grandfather or uncle didn't want to surrender, so they took him out of the house. And they became serious devotees and became initiated, everything. And there was another case, it's in the memories, Prabhupada's memories, how there was this Achyuta number two. And he was making life members in Rajasthan or something, some other place he was making life members. And some life members came to some other temple and they said, we gave a donation to become a life member to this Achyutananda number two. And Achyuta number one, they made investigation. Devotees went there and they found out that he was making money for himself. He wasn't doing for ISKCON. So then Prabhupada, he called CIA, or I don't know what they call them in India, whatever. He called his group. So this person, he told Prabhupada, I'm surrendering to you. Please don't allow them to take me. The police were ready to jump on him and take him away because they could see he's a crooked character. But Prabhupada told the police, okay, because he's surrendering to me, I cannot allow you to take him. And Prabhupada said to him, okay, if you're going to follow the regular principles and do what the devotees are doing, then I will protect you. But if we see you doing anything, what you're doing, criminal activities or whatever, stealing, we'll hand you to the police again. So for some time he was doing okay, but then at one point, early in the morning, he was going somewhere. And devotees caught him. He's trying to escape, doing his own thing again. So then at that point, then they called the CIA and they took him away. So it shows from these stories how devotees are more merciful than Krishna, that they're ready to tolerate other people's inconveniences to help them come on the spiritual path to surrender to Krishna. And devotees make it easier for everyone to turn to Krishna in that sense. But in the material world, everything, because the problem is people lack knowledge. They're happy to be, they're happy to embrace the three modes of nature. So in that sense, they want to, when someone's happy to embrace the three modes of nature, that means he wants to go against God's will. He wants to, so in that sense, he gets punished. The Prabhupada in his quote on the calendar, he said, there's one energy of Krishna. There's Bhadra, which is part of the spiritual world, which everything is going in harmony with Krishna's plan. And the same energy manifests in the material as Subhadra. And she punishes the living entities who are going against Krishna's will. So in the Jiva Dharma, he explains the material world is made in such a way as to make the living entity realize that at some point he has to turn to Krishna. He cannot become happy here. So he's made in that way to make us realize that this is not our home. If in the Prabhupada Lilamrita, if you read it, it explains how Srila Prabhupada in the beginning he tried to do everything properly in terms of getting a lot of money, supporting Gaudiya Math, trying to get his family involved in Krishna consciousness, trying to get his wife to support him. But we find that they didn't support, like the wife, she sold the Bhagavatam for tea biscuits. So Prabhupada at that point told her, it's either me or the tea. So we can see how So for someone who turns to Krishna, there's obstacles because because Prabhupada explains this world is a world of enemies. If we analyze every house you go to and you just inquire in terms of how much are they willing to surrender to Krishna's instructions, you find the majority want to be the center, not Krishna the center. That's the material world. You find that. People generally want to do things the way they want to do it, but they give a little bit to Krishna on the side. So preaching Krishna consciousness is a thankless task. And we see the example Prabhupada calls Jesus Christ. What Prabhupada said, actually Jesus Christ was preaching to murder, to killers. He was trying to change them, but they killed him. He was preaching to murderers that they didn't listen and they killed him. So so in the same way, as devotees, we are pushing on this Krishna consciousness movement. Actually, it's only by Lord Chaitanya's mercy that this movement is going forward. I heard a quote somewhere. It says that actually in previous Kali Yugas, by now the demons would have taken over the planet. The alien identities would have taken over this planet by now. But because of Lord Chaitanya, he's holding them back. He's not allowing them to come in. And there was a story Bhaktirasa Sagar Maharaj told how there was one devotee, he was in a farm place somewhere. And this huge aircraft landed, and his people came out to see this devotee, and they asked him, and the devotee saw on the ship, Prabhupada was there. And the devotee asked them, that you know who Srila Prabhupada is? They said, they asked him, do you know who Srila Prabhupada is? So in other words, they are knowing Prabhupada more than us. Because Prabhupada is considered like the chief commander in Lord Chaitanya's army. This movement is going to spread for 10,000 years. So there's many who are willing to support the mission of Krishna consciousness. The highest surrender is to follow what Prabhupada gave as an example for himself. He said, if you can remain, follow the temple lifestyle, morning program, hearing Bhagavatam, Guru Puja, then chanting 16 rounds, doing services, that's considered on some level, is the highest level of surrender. People in the material world generally want to hold on to their material attachments. And they want to serve in their own way, which is some level of surrender, but the highest one is to come to this level where you can do everything for Krishna's pleasure. And we can see in pushing on Krishna consciousness to help the fallen souls, we can see how you can feel how Krishna is there to protect the devotees. There are many instances where devotees are in difficulties and Krishna somehow helps them out to some. He sends a devotee to help, or he gets someone to help these devotees out. There was an instance of that. Krishna is watching, he's seeing our intention. Krishna sees your intention. What is your intention, to go towards him or turn away from him? There was a story in Russia which happened, like there was one boy in some isolation camp in Serbia or something. He was in that camp. Siberia, yeah, he was in that camp. And so he wasn't doing everything what the others were doing. They had to break stones, and he was just being neutral and being somewhat internal. And so the people who were in charge of that place, they thought something's wrong with this person. He's not doing everything like the other people are doing. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulanda Ki Jai. So, because he wasn't doing like the others were doing, they allowed him to get out of the camp. They thought, he's no use here, we can't use him for anything. So as he was going out, he saw the devotees coming on Harinam. And after that he became a devotee. So this example shows how if we are turning towards Krishna, he's ready to reciprocate with us. So Actually, Kali is only there for those who are lacking knowledge of who Krishna is. That's given in the first canto of Bhagavatam, where King Yudhishthira is retiring because Maharaj predicts he's on the throne. And King Yudhishthira is thinking, what's the use of staying any longer in the material world? Maharaj predicts he's going to rule. I prepare for the next life now. So Prabhupada mentions in the purport how the influence of Kali is only for those who are lacking knowledge of Krishna consciousness. Those who have knowledge, they don't get affected by Kali. Because they see how Krishna is there to protect them. So there's quite a few examples to show how Krishna protects his devotees. So there was a story how one time the demigods, they defeated the demons, and the demigods became proud. So Lord Vishnu came as a yaksha. And Indra, he sent Vayu to find out who this yaksha was. And when Vayu came, the yaksha asked Vayu, "Who are you?" He said, "I am the wind god." So then the yaksha said, "Can you blow this blade of grass?" Put a blade of grass. The Vayu was blowing everything, but the blade of grass wasn't moving. And then Vayu got bewildered, he went away. Indra asked Vayu, "Who was he?" He said, "I forgot to ask him." So then Indra sent Agni, the fire god. So Agni went, and Yaksha asked, "Who are you?" He said, I am Agni, the fire god. So then the Yaksha told Agni, "Can you burn this blade of grass?" He was burning everything, but he couldn't burn the blade of grass. Then Agni got bewildered. He went away. Indra said, "Who was he?" Forgot to ask. As Indra was going, he saw Parvati on the way. And the yaksha disappeared. Indra asked, "Who was he?" And Parvati said, "That was Lord Vishnu. He came to cut your pride." Thinking that you had won the demons, but actually you had defeated demons by his strength, not your strength. So other examples are there, like Jarasandha captured 20,000 kings or something. He put them in a cave, and then these kings sent a messenger to Krishna. And then Krishna freed these kings after killing Jarasandha. He freed them and he asked them to rule the kingdom nicely. Example of Shyama Taka Jewel is in Gopal Champur. They explains how after Krishna go back to Shyama Taka Jewel, after killing, who did he kill? He didn't kill, he defeated Jambavan, right? He got the Shyama Taka Jewel back, he gave it back to Satyajit. And the reason why he get that jewel back is because He accepted Satyabhama, Satyajit's daughter, because she was praying to Krishna with devotion. So he accepted her. But the Sambhataka jewel, Satyajit didn't get it out of devotion. There was no devotion behind it, so he didn't accept it. Krishna didn't accept it. From this instance, we can see how Krishna is more attracted to our devotion. So if we have a devotion, then things will work out for our benefit. But there's no devotion behind it. Krishna has no interest. Another example is of Kubja. He explains how Kubja was supplying sandalwood paste to Kamsa, but when she saw Krishna and Balaram, Krishna told her, "Why don't you give us the sandalwood paste?" And Kubja wasn't attracted to anyone. She was hunchbacked. She wasn't very beautiful at that point. But then after she offered the sandalwood to Krishna, Krishna straightened her out and made her very beautiful. But he also explained how her devotion to Krishna wasn't in a pure state. She wanted to enjoy Krishna in her own way. So in that sense, he wasn't on the level of pure devotion. But the fact that she did please Krishna, Krishna did went and he went to her house and he purified her. So when Krishna touched her, her lust disappeared. So the example is given, just like in a mirror, when you decorate yourself, the reflection in the mirror becomes decorated. So by serving Krishna, you become decorated. That's the example given. So for that reason, the devotees see everything as God sent. They understand that whatever Krishna does is good for us. There was an example in Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhav where Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur went to one place, I think in Bangladesh, and there was a cyclone which happened there. And Bhaktisiddhanta commented that even though something heavy like this has happened, but those who carry on in their Krishna consciousness, they will gain the benefit of going back to Godhead. Because even in difficult circumstances, you carry on with your Krishna consciousness, that's your ticket back to Godhead. Confirming that verse, Taktenu Kampa Shikshamanina Bunja Bhikkam. That verse is explaining how even though difficulties come, you carry on serving Krishna, then that becomes your right to go back to Godhead. Any comments or questions? Okay. Go, Krishna.
Thank you for the class. Is it working? Yes. Should we follow the example of Dharma the bull, and if we were to see something happen, somebody do something wrong, should we say I don't want to point out who the perpetrator is, because that'll come back on me.
One has to see the circumstance in terms of if we can report someone and that person gets rectified, then that's okay. But if we are going to get implicated in terms of something happening to us, then it's not good. Like in the case of Dharma the bull, he could see actually he couldn't tell anyone because he was God sent. So something which is God sent, you can't change. In that sense, you can't change it. It's like, for example, got this house, you know, the annex and everything. Now previously this belonged to a Jewish person. And devotee offered him money to buy the place, but he said, I'm not going to give it to the Hare Krishnas. I don't like the Hare Krishnas. But then devotees did it in another way. They got it to an agent and they got the place cheaper. So that shows how Krishna, you know, Krishna protected the devotees, right? So, in that sense, Krishna wanted to have that place. So Krishna gave direction to devotees how to get the place. Listen.
Can I just ask another question? And that is that why is it that if you point out the perpetrator, that you get implicated like that? Is it because you're not forgiving? You want revenge or something like that? Is that the problem?
Could be. I mean, it's like first you have to know you're pure-hearted yourself to help the person. That's one thing. And the other thing is, how much can you help that person? Maybe that person has to go to more purification. You can't really change him. It's like who was that king who touched Draupadi, tried to take her away? No, he tried to take her away, you know. Jayadrath, yeah. Now, when Jayadrath was punished, right, they only left 5 hairs on his hair, right? And they asked King Yudhisthira, what do you want to do with him? So King Yudhisthira, he could have killed him, you know, but he didn't do that. He just let him go. And then, knowing that, hopefully he'll learn his lesson. But at the same time, King Yudhisthira went by Krishna's plan, you know, in terms of, because in the beginning of the battle of Kurukshetra, it happened like Arjuna was worried about Jayadrath. He knew, how am I going to deal with him? So Krishna said, don't worry, I'm behind you. And the only difference is, with King Yudhisthira, he was more into morality. He's like morality. And Arjuna was more into surrender to Krishna. Yudhisthira allowed Jayadrath to go. So eventually he got killed because Arjuna took a vow to kill him, and Krishna helped him in that way. So if our purpose is to serve Krishna's purpose, then we don't need to have a go at anyone. But if it's for our own agenda, then we have to be careful. This is the point. Isn't it?
Hi Krishna. So just on that point as well, I was listening to some senior swamis were speaking about, so in a circumstance where someone does something wrong to you, for the circumstance, they are the cause of that circumstance. But if you're pointing out that the suffering that you're receiving is because of that person, then that's when you get the reaction. Because the suffering you're receiving is because of what you deserve to receive. This person's just acting as the agent at this particular moment in time. So you pointing out that this person is the cause of the circumstance, fine. But if this is the cause of your suffering, no. Then that was the difference that they were kind of pointing out. And then Radhanath Maharaj says that see these people who cause you suffering as just agents to what you deserve, to your karma. So it's if we think that the person who's done this to me in this activity is the cause of my karma, that we get the reaction. But if we look at it and no, I deserved this. This person was just the agent. Yes, they did the action, so we can point out that this person, yes, is the one who knocked me, is the one who hit me, is the one who did this activity. But he's not the cause of my suffering. My suffering I got because I deserve it based on my karma. Then you won't receive the reaction. But you'll receive it if you think that that person is the cause of you getting that suffering. But that suffering you already deserved. And if it wasn't that person, it would have been somebody else or another situation that would have caused you. And I think Krishna says the same thing to Arjuna that, okay, you might choose to not fight being a Kshatriya, but if you go out to the woods, you still have to fight because that's your nature. That's in your tendency. So if that's your karma, in any way, shape, or form, you'll still have to receive it. But if you are to say that the person, this agent, is the cause, then you receive the reaction.
Mm. Anyone else?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you for your amazing class. I just had one question, maybe it's a silly question. How do we, you said Krishna is more attracted to devotion, but most of us, we're not that pure, we don't have that pure heart or pure love. How do we develop devotion for Krishna?
Well, there's a process. Ador, sada, tata, sada, sangha, bhajana, kriya.
Even whilst doing that, like you're doing.
That's why Prabhupada stressed, you have to read my books through knowledge. When you do something through knowledge, then you gain benefit behind that. Your conviction to do something becomes stronger and stronger over time. And even like sacrifices, if you're doing it through knowledge to Krishna, then in time your devotion will become stronger and stronger. Because if you're just doing sacrifice without knowledge, then the benefit is not so much. It's very small. So having knowledge, you get more. The devotion comes over time, stronger and stronger. That's why Prabhupada stressed reading his books 1 or 2 hours every day. And Prabhupada said renunciation will come in. So it's through knowledge of the scriptures, like I said previously, you have to make the scriptures your eyes. So having that, then the devotion will come.
Mm.
It's very simple. Prabhupada gave the method, you follow this. It's a process. Krishna consciousness is a process. You follow it, the result will come. Example is there, just like in the outside, you do your studies. If you fail in the examination, you lose everything. Whereas in Krishna consciousness, it's not like that. Everything is done. You just have to take the process. Then it gets revealed to you in time. The perfection gets revealed to you. Krishna reveals it to you. The thing is, you can't demand mercy.
Mm.
You can't demand mercy. Krishna gives it when you're ready for it. This is how you have to see it. When you're ready for the mercy, Krishna will give it to you.
Mm.
But the main thing is you have to have a proper service attitude. That's the main thing. Having a proper service attitude, then everything will come revealed in time. This is the essence of it.
Okay.
So, you could be doing a... Prabhupada gives a quote on that. He says, just by pleasing a pure devotee, you may not be qualified to get the mercy, but just by pleasing a pure devotee, you get the mercy. So it's like that.
Mm.
This is the benefit of having a spiritual master, because he's the one who trains you up to come to the line of pure devotion. It's not by your strength you can approach Krishna directly.
Mm.
Even the spiritual master, he's praying to Krishna on your behalf. And when he's praying, and if you're following his instructions, then on his Krishna's telling, the spiritual master is telling Krishna, now please take him. Then that qualification takes you further. On your own, you can't do it.
Mm.
So it's that's why we have to go through the process. Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, having a spiritual master. Then he trains you up to the level of coming to the line of pure devotion. It's okay?
Yeah, thank you. Can I ask one more question?
Yeah, okay.
If you said we have to follow the spiritual, what if your spiritual master gives you instruction but you're not initiated, does that still mean you're, let's say you die tomorrow, does it mean that you were still following your spiritual master's instruction although you're not initiated?
Well, the thing is, there's two lines, there's a shiksha and diksha line. So initially it starts from shiksha. The one, you take guidance from someone who's helping you in your Krishna consciousness, and as long as he's advanced and everything, then the mercy is there.
Of the, no, but specifically your spiritual master, you've not got initiated.
That's okay, the mercy is still there.
So if you die tomorrow, then that means you're initiated?
No, the thing is, he will protect you on your behalf.
Okay.
It's not like you're going to be your own strength. You've taken shelter of someone, and he's praying to Krishna on your behalf. As long as you've taken shelter of him, then Krishna will listen to that spiritual master, what he's saying.
Okay. Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you for your explanation.
Prayajan. Oh, I don't know.
The interesting thing is when we look at the text itself, it says, O you who in the form of a bull, you know the truth of religion. Now, the fact is we have to know the truth of religion as well. And then it says, and you are speaking in accordance with the principle. So this must be a religious principle in the truth of religion, that that the destination of the perpetrator of irreligious acts that go against religion, that is also intended for the one who identifies the perpetrator. You are no one, you are no other than the personality of religion. So the subject, the question is the personality of, you are the personality of religion. You're the one who can decide. But when he says the perpetrator of irreligious acts, you know, it could be anybody. It could be a karmi. It could be a devotee or a practicing devotee. We have to look at both those, actually. The one is doing a religious act. We report it to the police. In other words, they're stealing, that sort of thing. They're the authority. You know, we go to that person, if he's in the mat or in the temple, we go to his authority, and the authority will then have to protect the devotees from this person. And they may have to report it to the police, right? So it's an irreligious act to steal, isn't it? Thou shalt not steal. So you've got to go to the authority, and who will act upon it. And that's what's happened also in ISKCON's history. Ultimately, when there are misdemeanors, the police got involved. They were brought in by the ISKCON authorities. It happened. And so, and then from our point of view, within the temple, there's an authority for training bhaktas or devotees who are experienced, and they'll also be disciplined by their authority. So it doesn't mean we have to look at the protection given by pointing out the misdemeanor, that you seek the advice of the authority, and if the authority says, yes, this is a misdemeanor, then you don't approach them direct at all. You know, better to go through an authority if you have doubts. And in any case, and the authorities will then have to see if it's not only an irreligious act, but it's against the law, and they'll report it to the authority of the law. In other words, he's stealing, or he's beating up people, or he assaulted somebody. Okay, so you don't get it if you go all through authority. And that's what he's saying really here, that actually we have to understand if it's an authority, and so we don't do ourselves. That's the safety position. We just have to see who's at the authority.
Can we stop the class now and speak, because it's 9:15? अंतर्राष्ट्रीय भागवतम की जाए